this installment in the Nick Guy Private Eye series, we are proud to present the following special presentation. If you remember from our last episode, we were following the adventures of John and Martha, stars of the television show for WPST called The Gathering Dusk.
Oh, I'm John, and The Gathering Dusk is the continuing saga of a poor body repair shop heiress named Martha.
That's me, and I'm on an endless search for love and togetherness.
But that search may not be as endless as they think. As we learned last time, WPST station manager Victor Allen Nesbitt announced that WPST would soon be adding a new show to their programming schedule.
It's a show I've developed for that affable and charmingly irresistible stand-up comic, Doug Galano. Just listen to him.
And so, I said, oh no. I said that because I didn't want to do it.
The show will be called Everybody Digs Doug, and it's going to be big. It'll be the biggest hit since Everybody Adores Seymour.
But as we also learned, in order to make room for that new show, one of WPST's current shows would have to be canceled.
I've commissioned a report to determine which of our programs has the lowest viewer interest and engagement.
And the least interesting and least engaging program would be canceled. The station stars were all a little concerned.
My secretary, Miss Davenport, will read off the list.
Of course, Mr. Nesbitt. First, there's Muscle Moth-Eaton, who hosts the show, Recent Ascensions.
Why, the name is Russell Moth-Eaton, and the program is called Reasonable Discussions.
Of course. And then there's the Views of the News from Pews by the People with the Blues.
That's news on the views of the people in the news, and my name is Sherry Sapling.
It is? I'll make note of that.
What's next, Miss Davenport?
Well, let's see. There's a show hosted by Hygenia Schlepp, and it's called Shout Comments and Booms.
My name is Hygenia Schlepp, and I host a delightful gardening show called Sprouts, Blossoms, and Blooms.
Delightful? Hygenia, did you say delightful?
I say a delightful, and I mean delightful, in the most delightful sense of the word.
Oh yes, your show is delightful. If by delightful you mean horrible... I said horrible, and I mean pathetically terrible.
As you can see, Hygenia Schlepp and Martha don't exactly like each other.
Well, they have been rivals since they were girls.
Well, getting back to the subject at hand, Victor Allen Nesbitt had announced that he will announce which show will be canceled the next day.
Well, I have a meeting to attend and won't return until this evening. But when I do, I'll make my final analysis and come to my final decision.
Although no show is secure, John finds himself and his show in a particularly most precarious position.
First of all, station manager Victor Allen Nesbitt is not so secretly in love with Martha, his fiancée of 10 longing years.
And it's also no secret that Victor Allen Nesbitt strongly desires to have Martha have a starring role in his new sitcom, Everybody Digs Doug.
So if Mr. Nesbitt cancels John's show, that would free Martha up to star in Everybody Digs Doug.
And Victor Allen Nesbitt hopes that all of that would win Martha's affections.
Just as this all began to sink into John, temporary maintenance man Ira Stubble informed him that...
Well, Mr. Nesbitt said he wants to see John. Today.
Anxiously, John went to Victor Allen Nesbitt's office. But when he arrived, Victor Allen Nesbitt told him...
I didn't tell Stubble I wanted to see John today. I told him I wanted to see his job list for today.
But sensing John's anxiety over his fate at WPST, Victor Allen Nesbitt told him...
All right, I'll be working this evening, so come back to the station at 8 p.m. and you and I will have a discussion about your future and the future of your show.
And so we pick up the action now as John returns to WPST studios that evening at 15 minutes before 8 p.m. and we find him talking on his cell phone with Martha.
Oh, John, I'm certain everything will be all right. But even if it isn't, just remember that you'll always be the love of my life. My dashingly average-looking beau. My constantly bewildered darling.
Well, of course, that is very comforting, my dear Martha, but I must confess that I'm still quite concerned. I have been told that Victor Allan Nesbitt doesn't like me, and that he does like you. In fact, that he's not so secretly in love with you.
Oh, but John, can you blame him? Surely you, of all people, can understand why he'd be so taken with me.
Oh, of course, my love, but I would hate to lose my show and my fiancé of 10 longing years, both at the same time.
Oh, John, how adorably insecure you are. And you are in no danger of losing my affections.
But Victor Allan Nesbitt is powerful and wealthy.
He is? How powerful and how wealthy?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but
John, my love, is that thunder I hear?
Oh, yes, it is.
And is that rain I hear?
Oh, yes, it is, my dear.
Heavy rain?
Yes, quite heavy.
Then you should get your umbrella.
Oh, but I fear I left my umbrella at home.
Then you need to return home to get it.
Oh, but Martha, my dearest, I should be all right. I am wearing my raincoat.
Oh, John, your crumpled raincoat.
Oh, yes.
But you always wear your crumpled raincoat, my darling.
Yes, and it has a wide collar that I can turn up against the rain.
But your left side pocket is torn, and it's this very odd, off-color beige. No, I think you should still return home and get your umbrella.
But I've already reached the front door of the studio, and I'm standing in the alcove. In fact, not a single drop of rain has gotten on me.
Oh, and besides that, if I return home, I should be late then for my meeting with Victor Allan Nesbitt. His attitude toward me is already bent in a negative direction. I would hate to have bet that attitude by being tardy.
Very well, my darling. But you'd better stop over at my house after your meeting, and I shall have hot chocolate and a warm towel waiting for you.
Why, thank you, Martha, my love. Oh, I see someone coming to the door to let me in. It must be Ira Stubble, the temporary maintenance man. Oh, I must go, my darling Martha.
Of course, John. And don't worry about your meeting. Just be yourself.
Of course, my love.
On second thought, perhaps you shouldn't just be yourself. You'll most likely be better off being someone else.
Come on in, young fella.
The door won't open.
Well, it's unlocked. You just have to lift the handle and then push it open.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I can never remember if it's lift the handle up and then push the door open, or push the handle down and then pull the door open.
You would think with as long as you've been working here that you'd have figured out how to work that door by now.
It
doesn't matter. You're in now. Well, you'll have to excuse me. I have to start my emptying trash can run.
John began to walk down the hall toward Victor Allan Nesbitt's office. On the way, he passed by Studio A, where Russell Moth-Eaton was still working.
Oh, Mr. Moth-Eaton, you're still here?
Yes, I am. I'm right now connecting online for what is promising to be a very exciting interview.
Oh, an exciting interview?
Well, my talent coordinator has finally done something right. He's arranged for me to interview molecular biologist Dr. Alexander Hubris.
Well, who is Dr. Alexander Hubris?
Who is Dr. Alexander Hubris? Why, he has been at the forefront in studying the psychophysiological, neuroimagining, endocrinological, and genetic changes associated with some common and debilitating stress disorders. That's who he is. Why, his work is revolutionary. Having him as a guest is sure to boost my ratings.
Oh, I'm very happy for you.
Unfortunately, the only time he had available to speak with me was 8 p.m. But that's a small price to pay for securing an interview with such a renowned guest. Oh, here's the link now. Hello, Dr. Hubris. Thank you for your time, sir.
Why, hello. But why did you call me Dr. Hubris? I'm not a doctor.
You're not Dr. Alexander Hubris?
Oh, my name is Hubris, but it's not Alexander Hubris. My name's Abernathy Hubris.
Abernathy Hubris?
And like I said, I'm not a doctor, although I did go to see a doctor earlier today.
You're not a molecular biologist?
A mole what? Oh, I don't even know what a mole whatever you said is. But it was a mole I went to see that doctor about. You see, I have this mole right on the end of my chin. It's really rather unsightly. Can you see it on your monitor? Here, I'll get closer to the camera.
No, don't get closer to the camera.
Don't you want to see my mole?
Why, I should say not.
So, what do you want to talk about?
I have no desire to speak with you about anything. This interview is over.
But it's over,
I say.
John continued down the hall, and as he passed by Studio B, the set of his show, The Gathering Dusk, he was surprised to see a light on. He entered to find Hogginia Shemp there. She had a knife and a jar of peanut butter in her hand.
Hogginia Shemp?
Oh, John, it's you.
Well, I wasn't expecting to see you here this late.
Oh, yes. I sometimes work late, but I'm glad I've run into you.
Oh, you are?
Yes. I just wanted to tell you that I don't think you have anything to worry about with all this talk about which show is going to be canceled.
Oh, you don't?
Of course not. I've always thought that you're the real star of The Gathering Dusk. You're the real reason the show is such a success.
Well, you can't underestimate Martha's talents.
Oh, yes, I can. Why, she would be nothing without you. So I wouldn't worry one minute about Victor Allen Nesbitt canceling your show and stealing your fiancé.
Oh, well, I appreciate
that. But if that should happen, you know, should you lose your show, I'll let you star with me on my show. Sprouts, Blossoms, and Blooms.
Oh, well,
I... And should Victor Allen Nesbitt steal Martha away from you, my arms will be open to you as well. You can become my fiancé, and for as many longing years as you want.
Well, I appreciate the offer, Hogginia, but I don't think Martha would like that. I don't think she would want that.
But, John, I don't care what Martha would like or what Martha would want. Your happiness is all I'm concerned about.
Well, I'm happiest when Martha gets her way. At least, that's what she told me.
Well, you just think about it, John. Now, get ready. I'm gonna give you a kiss.
Oh, well, Hogginia, why did you do that?
You didn't like it?
Well, no, I wouldn't exactly say that. It's just
Would you like me to take it back?
Is that possible?
Why, of course. Here, watch.
Well, I'm glad you told me you were taking your kiss back, because if I didn't know any better, I would have sworn that you just gave me another one.
Oh, John, you're so adorably obtuse. Good night.
A little befuddled, John left Hogginia Shemp and continued down the hall. He passed by Studio C, where Sherry Sapling, hostess of News on the Views of the People of the News, was preparing to make a phone call.
Well, good evening, Sherry Sapling. You're working late tonight?
Oh, hi there, John. Of course, I'm getting a big scoop on a major international news story. My research assistant set up the interview for 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
But it's 8 o'clock in the evening.
Unfortunately for me, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon their time. They're in a different time zone than we are, so I'll have to place my call now. Calling at a bad time could upset them, and then they wouldn't talk to me at all. Oh, excuse me. They just picked up. Hello? Is this Prince Humboldt of the Nobleman's Republic of Wada Wada? It is! Oh, how nice. And how are you this afternoon? Oh, it's not the afternoon there. Are you sure? Oh, yes, you're sure. But I don't understand. I was told that when it's 8 p.m. my time, that it's 1 p.m. your time. You know, the middle of the afternoon. What's that? It's not the middle of the afternoon there. It's the middle of the night. 4 a.m. to be exact. Well, I am sorry, but as long as I have you on the phone, I would like to talk to you about the current monetary crisis your country is facing and what that might mean for the stability of your... Oh, well, I don't appreciate that tone of voice, young man. I understand that I just woke you from a very sound sleep, but I'm not in the habit of being spoken to like this. Well, I am sorry for the inconvenience. I hope you'll accept my sincerest apology. You won't accept my sincerest apology. You say I can swelter on the underbelly of a disgruntled camel? Well, I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound like the warmest of wishes. I believe I'll hang up now. Oh, what's that? Yes, and may your best pair of shoes be trampled by an angry swarm of unwashed rodents as well. Oh, goodbye!
After witnessing this exchange, John continued down the hall. While he walked, he heard someone speaking in the distance.
I'll get you for this, you dirty rat. You can't double-cross me and get away with it.
That's odd. Now, that all sounds rather familiar to me.
Just then, he passed by a window and was abruptly reminded that a heavy thunderstorm was taking place outside.
I do hope this storm passes before my meeting with Victor Allen Nesbitt is over.
When John reached Victor Allen Nesbitt's office, he found the door to the outer office open.
Miss Davenport, are you still here?
Miss Davenport was not still there. So he proceeded to Victor Allen Nesbitt's office door, which he found slightly ajar.
Mr. Victor Allen Nesbitt, are you in?
What he found startled him.
My, how startling.
No one was there, but the office was in disarray, as if a struggle had taken place.
It looks like a struggle has taken place.
There on the desk was the folder containing the special report Victor Allen Nesbitt had commissioned to determine which of WPST shows viewers were the most interested in and engaged with.
Oh, this must be it.
It was a blue folder, marked Special Report in big red letters.
Just as Victor Allen Nesbitt described it.
But when he opened the folder, he found it was empty.
Someone must have taken the report out.
He then noticed in the wastebasket just beside the desk the charred remains of several pages.
Oh, this must be the report.
Well, how do you know that?
Oh, it's written right here on what's left of the title page. It says, Special Report on WPST's Most Interesting and Engaging Shows.
Just then, John noticed something that was even more startling than what he had just seen.
Oh, this is even more startling.
He noticed that the Persian rug that Victor Allen Nesbitt had on his office floor was gone. And next to the now bare spot was a fireplace poker with blood on it.
Now that's odd.
Just then, Ira Stubble...
Just call me Stubble. Everyone does.
Oh, very well. Stubble, the temporary maintenance man, entered the room.
Say, what's going on here?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that the burnt special report I see in the wastebasket? Is Mr. Nesbitt's Persian rug missing? Is that blood on that fireplace poker?
Yes, to all three questions.
What have you done to Mr. Nesbitt? Have you murdered him?
No, I...
Don't move a muscle. I'm calling the police.
The police?
Yeah, they'll know what to do with a murderer.
The police arrived, handcuffed John, and led him out into the parking lot.
Well, at least it stopped raining and I didn't have to get wet.
They put him into a patrol car and put him in jail. He used his one phone call to contact Martha, who came down to the station to bail him out.
Oh, John, this is simply terrible. Are you all right? Did prison harden you? Did it make you mean? Did it make you nasty mean?
Well, it's only been 20 minutes, my dear.
Well, all right, miss. Bail is set at $200.
$200? For what he did?
But, Martha, I didn't do it.
I know that, my love, but, well, you have to admit, this is quite a bargain.
Well, here you go, miss.
What's this?
Oh, it's a receipt, miss. A receipt for the bail you posted for him.
A receipt? Oh, but, officer, I just wanted to get him out of jail. I didn't want to buy him.
Well, just take him home, missy.
Take him home? You don't mean to my home, do you?
We're not married. We're only engaged.
Well, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Oh, come, John, my love. I'll take you to your home.
Oh, this all seems like a nightmare, Martha.
Don't worry, John. Everything will look better in the morning.
But everything didn't look better in the morning.
First of all, I went to sit in my chair and ended up sitting in peanut butter. It got all over me.
At 10 a.m., an announcement was made for everyone to gather in the staff room for a special meeting. John received numerous suspicious looks as he and Martha entered the crowded room.
I seem to be receiving numerous suspicious looks, Martha.
Perhaps they're looking at all this peanut butter I still have on me. Oh, would you please hand me that towel, John, my love? There's a large splotch on the sleeve of my blouse. Halginia Shemp, whatever are you finding so amusing?
That wasn't an amusing giggle. It was a concerned one. For John. He looks like he didn't sleep a wink all night.
Well, how nice of you to notice, Halginia.
Oh, John. I just know you're innocent.
Well, you don't know as well as I do.
Why, Martha. I do believe you're jealous.
Jealous? Of you? Don't be absurd.
Then you won't get jealous if I offer John the sympathy kiss.
Oh, well, I...
John, I demand you not to enjoy that.
Oh, of course not, my love.
Just then, a diminutive man, almost completely unnoticed in one corner of the room, and wearing a rumpled raincoat and smoking a cigar, spoke.
Can I have your attention, please? Everyone, can I have your attention?
And who are you?
Are you the person responsible for calling this meeting?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am. I know that this is a rather tough time and that everyone is on edge. I'm Lieutenant Falk of the Homicide Division.
Homicide Division?
Oh, do you believe a homicide has been committed?
Well, now, it's too early to say. All we know at this time is that Victor Allen Nesbitt, the station manager, is missing. And that some very suspicious circumstances have presented themselves.
You mean like the fact that we don't know where Lieutenant Falk is?
No, ma'am. I'm Lieutenant Falk. We already know where I am.
I mean where Miss Davenport is.
No, you're Miss Davenport.
We know where you are.
Then who's missing again?
Victor Allen Nesbitt, the station manager.
Oh, now that's suspicious.
You're right, it is. But it's too early to come to any conclusions as to what happened here. But that's why I'm here, to find out. So I'm afraid I'll be nosing around here and asking a lot of questions. But it's all necessary.
Well, I know that my dear sweet John is innocent.
I'm not pointing a finger at anyone, ma'am. And like I said, we don't even know if anything happened here yet.
But it is a suspicious situation.
And John is the prime suspect.
John would never do anything suspicious.
He's too kind and gentle and peaceable and dull and incompetent to do anything suspicious.
But just because he's dull and incompetent doesn't mean he's not capable of doing something bad.
You know what they say. You can't judge a book by its cover.
What book are we talking about?
I'm sorry. I did not mean to start an argument. I can see that you're all very upset. But I promise you I'll get to the bottom of this whole thing. I will want to talk to each of you. It's all for the sake of gathering information, you understand. I need to get the facts, all the facts, the complete facts. I need to do that in order to make an informed judgment as to what, if anything, happened here, and who, if anyone, is responsible.
Then you'll be able to judge that book.
Yes, ma'am. Then I'll be able to judge that book.
So, what will Lieutenant Falk's investigation reveal? Did something happen to Victor Allen Nesbitt? And if so, who's responsible? You'll want to be with us next time when we hear Miss Davenport say...
I don't think I ever read that book.
So be sure to join us again next time for another special installment of Nick Guy, Private Eye. Ward Stang speaking.
The Facts and Nothing But the Facts, an installment of the Gathering Dusk series of Nick Guy, Private Eye, features the vocal talents of Rebecca Bradford, Alicia Hansen, Glenn Haskell, Doug Longjani, and Frank Uhle. Proverbs 18:17 tells us that the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Before we make a decision on anything, we should endeavor to gather all of the facts that we can. The more information we have, the more informed our decision will be. Well, to find out more about this topic or the Nick Guy Private Eye Apologetic Series, visit our website at nickguy.net and discover that sometimes the most amazing things must be true.